The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I love how after you were called worthless slaves that you said with loud voice, praise to you, O Christ. By a show of hands, who has ever been in an argument or dispute about religion with family, friends, or church members? Quite a few. In one such debate that I was involved in, it ended with someone telling me, I know you're a believer, but your faith is shallow. That statement left me speechless, and you know that doesn't happen to me very often. I wanted to defend my faith as being strong, but remaining silent at that point was my best choice. After it happened, I told quite a few people about it, including our weekly pastor group. And I was getting a lot of support. And one day I was having lunch with my bishop. Who better to share this story with? I was certainly anticipating support from a bishop who knew me quite well. But when I said, the person said, my faith is shallow. The bishop looked at me and said, that sounds about right. Again, I was speechless. In less than 2 months' time, I was told twice that my faith was shallow. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is teaching, if your faith is tiny, tiny like a little mustard seed. If your faith is shallow, that's enough. And more than enough. Jesus doesn't expect his disciples to be spiritual giants. There are spiritual giants in the world. But trust me, you're not looking at one now. What's important for us today is to recognize and attach ourselves to the ultimate spiritual giant, Jesus. And even though we're not spiritual giants, Jesus is teaching us that our small amount of faith will do incredible things. He pointed to a nearby mulberry tree. Now, mulberry trees have a very complex root system with thick roots. Transplanting a mulberry tree is next to impossible. And Jesus said that a tree would obey you with little faith, with shallow faith. The tree, if you tell it to, would uproot itself and transplant itself into the sea. Now, for a tree to do that is definitely impossible. And of course, Jesus isn't speaking literally. He's saying that tiny, shallow faith accomplishes impossible things. The faith you have is enough, and more than enough. The truth is, God, through our faith, does impossible things. God does miraculous things. All we have to do, Jesus is saying, is to plant tiny seeds of faith. Plant tiny seeds of love. And then, as St. Paul says, God will give the growth. God will give the growth. Several years ago, I received a letter from a CEO of a shelter for abused women in California. The writer had been one of my confirmation students many years back. He thanked me for teaching him the importance of doing good in the world. Now, I take absolutely no credit for the work he was doing. I planted a seed or two, but God gave the growth. Our faith is tiny, even shallow, like seeds. Our job is to plant those seeds. God's job is to transplant the trees that grow. And God will transplant those seeds into the sea of humanity. Luke, the storyteller, has been taking us on a journey, starting with Bethlehem, Nazareth, Samaria, Galilee, and finally to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, Jesus will suffer and die and be raised from the dead. When today's teaching took place, the teaching about the mulberry tree, the journey to Jerusalem was getting closer and closer. The atmosphere was getting more and more intense. The apostles were feeling very anxious. Discipleship was becoming overwhelming and tiring. Jesus expected them to forgive the same person over and over and over and over. Jesus expected them to love their enemies. Jesus expected them to turn the other cheek. Jesus was expecting them to be servants, slaves even. No wonder they came up to him and said, increase our faith. This discipleship, this following you is hard. Increase our faith. But Jesus was telling them, you don't need more faith. Jesus wasn't looking for spiritual giants. He was looking for followers who would plant simple seeds, seeds of kindness, seeds of compassion, seeds of forgiveness, seeds of peace, shalom. Jesus is looking for disciples who will plant seeds of love wherever they live. Jesus was looking for disciples who would pray for one another. Jesus is looking for disciples who will love one another. Now, when everyone in the church plants tiny seeds, God grows huge trees. And together we become part of a network of love with a very strong, wide-reaching root system. a lot of disputes about religion and politics these days take place at family meals. You know that. Such a thing actually happened. This isn't part of what I was going to say. It was a whole, when I started this sermon, I wrote a whole different beginning. But I got to tell you this. I was talking about, I was going to open up the sermon with never talk about religion and politics. And there was one little meme that I saw that was funny. It said, we advise you to talk about religion and politics at Thanksgiving, and that will cut down your Christmas list. Where am I? Such things take place at family meals, this conflict. And such a thing actually happened at the Last Supper, just after the bread and wine. That meal became a time of conflict. The apostles were arguing right after the bread and wine. The apostles were arguing with each other on who was going to be the greatest, who was going to be the most important. And Jesus settled the dispute. He said that the greatest person at a meal is the one who serves, not the one who sits at the meal and eats the meal. The servant, the slave, is the greatest. Jesus is using an example of slavery, which was a big part of that culture. And without going into the atrocities and the evils of slavery today, trust me, I did a lot of research about that this week. Jesus uses slavery as an illustration that no matter how overwhelming being a disciple is, we just do what's expected of us, as slaves do. Do the work of ministry for the sake of the kingdom, not for thanks, not for glory, not for your own satisfaction. Slaves take care of others before they take care of themselves. That's their job description. Remember, Jesus became a slave. We're told in Scripture, Jesus became a slave, which means that his life was completely lived for others, for us, and for our salvation. As disciples, we become servants. We become slaves for the kingdom of God. In our translation, as I noted a bit earlier, Jesus indicates that we're worthless slaves. Now, that doesn't mean what it sounds like. I think we need a better translation for that, and I haven't come up with one. But as what it means to be worthless slaves in this context is that as servants, we do what we're supposed to do. The results of what we do are not up to us. It's the same theme I've been talking about. As far as the results go, as far as making the growth happen, we're worthless. Compared to what God does, we're worthless. We're not worthless. We need to remember this. We're not worthless when it comes to planting seeds. That's our job description. That's our calling. Jesus is essentially telling his disciples, you have work to do. You have seed planting to do. But don't think of yourselves as God. You're not. God gives the growth. We become the seeds that God plants in the world. Now, just as Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to death and resurrection, so too we are traveling on our way to death and resurrection, ultimately. On the way, on our journey, God transplants us so that we can bloom in the world with God's love, so that the world can see God's love. So that the sea of humanity will see the great love of this wonderful, beautiful, huge mulberry tree. So we don't need to be super disciples. We don't need to be super Christians. We don't need to be spiritual giants. We don't need to be a mega church. We don't need to be in the spotlight. Being small, even shallow, is okay according to Jesus. Miracles happen. Ministry happens. Life happens. Even when we have small, shallow faith. So we feed the hungry. We shelter the homeless. We minister to the sick, the hurting, the grieving. In the words of Jesus, we love one another. We carry God's love into the world by planting seeds of compassion and kindness and love. And we trust. We trust in our faith that God gives the growth. Let us pray. First, bring to mind all the troubles of the world, the pain, the suffering, the anxiety, the division, the hatred. And now listen to God's instructions as you think on those things. Plant seeds of love in all of those places. That's your calling as a disciple. Plant seeds of love in all those places. And then God says, trust me. I will give the growth. Trust me, God says. I will give the growth.